This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, joining us now here on 105.3 The Fan is the head football coach at the University of Texas, Steve Sarkisian, joining us. And a good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, well, thanks for joining us. Okay, let's get to it. What's it going to take, Steve? We were just talking. What's it going to take to build a winner down there?
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, we have to focus on who we are every single day. You know, I think everybody in any, you know, sport, profession, whatever you do, everybody wants to win at the end. And we have to be careful not just focusing on the end, but focusing on who we are on a daily basis and improving and getting ourselves to perform at optimal level on a regular basis, so that when those moments do come to become a winner, to become a champion, we know what that feels like. We know what that looks like. We know how we operate to get to that point. And that's really our focus. You know, we want to win, and we're chasing greatness every day. But the reality of it is we can't focus on the result. We got to really focus on who we are on a daily basis, so that when that time comes, which I believe will come, that we perform at an optimal level.
That's interesting. And as you look at what this program has been up to the time that you joined it, what are the things that have been holding them back from reaching its sizable potential?
Well, you know, I'm not one to talk about how things were done before or not. I really try to focus on what we want to do and what our focus is. You know, clearly we've got a current roster in place that is talented. It's our job as coaches to develop that talent, to put them in position to be successful, whether it's on the field or off the field, in the classroom. I think we've got to make sure that we're instilling the discipline, the commitment, the accountability, the mental and physical toughness needed that great teams have, a lot of which starts off the field and carries itself onto the field. So that's the current roster. The second piece is clearly recruiting. We've got to continue to build the roster the way we want it to look. From our position profiles, from our numbers by position, from the style of play that we're looking for. So I guess it's really two-pronged. It's your current roster and what we're doing with the guys we have now, which I think is a talented roster. And then the back end of it is the types of players that we want to bring into the University of Texas and the type of program we want to become and continue to be for years to come.
So, Coach, I want to ask you about something I've talked about a couple of times since you've been hired, and it reminded me of Matt Rhule when he was at Baylor. He hired a friend of our program, Joey McGuire, who is a local Texas high school coach, and you've hired Lancaster's head coach, Chris Gilbert. Can you talk about what goes into that? Because I think it's so smart and so important when it comes to the recruiting, having those relationships locally. How did you go through that process and settle on who you wanted and all that?
Well, I think, you know, for me, I mean, clearly the high school football in the state of Texas is second to none. And I think the coaching and the high school coaches in the state of Texas is second to none. And I think those, you know, I'm a relationship recruiter. I'm a relationship person in general when it comes to our players, recruits, the high school coaches. And I think there's a lot of value in having those relationships and developing those relationships. Because ultimately, if we do this the right way, this really should be the high school coaches of Texas's program. This should be their program because the majority of our players should be from the state of Texas. So to do that, I think you've got to have great rapport. You've got to have great relationships. You've got to foster those relationships. You've got to continue to build those relationships. And so for me, you know, the position that's been in place here for some years and different guys have held that spot, I just felt like it was a natural fit to continue that position, to make sure that we've got people in place in our organization that value relationships, and that we treat the coaches and or the players and then their families, the recruits' families, the right way so that we continue to keep our talent home and come to the University of Texas.
Yeah, Coach, I wanted to ask you, you're one of the best play callers in football. There's no question about that. And I always wonder, because I was with John Gruden and Andy Reid when they were in Green Bay as young coaches, and I was wondering, how many, as an offensive coordinator, how do you go about, do you steal plays? Do you watch tape and steal plays? Because I know John and Andy used to steal plays from other coordinators. Is that something the really good play callers are able to do?
I think so, quite frankly, and I'm very good friends with both Andy and John. I stay connected to those guys. I think they're two of the best that have ever done it. But the reality of it is, you know, we all study, we all hunt and peck and look for ways to improve. You know, I think, you know, there's a reason. You know, you either adapt or die in our profession.
Sure.
And you know, I jokingly say that you know that there's a reason dinosaurs aren't here anymore, right? They didn't adapt, so we have to continue to adapt. And to do so, you know, I think you have to study. You have to work at our craft. And, not every play fits your scheme. And so I think that's the decision that's probably the harder one. There's a lot of good plays. There's a lot of good football out there. There's a lot of good football coaches. It's, does this fit what we do? Is this a natural progression to what we do, to some of the things that we're already doing? And that's always, you know, the off-season projects you look into. You're studying different teams. You're studying, you know, what they do, different schemes. And then even in season, as you're going through it, you've got people in the building that are, you know, that are studying other people, and they bring you ideas. And some you take, some you don't. But the reality is, I think we have to continue to try to adapt, continue to try to move forward, so that we don't get stale.
It's Steve Sarkisian with you on 105.3 The Fan. How much differently do you look at head coaching compared to your previous opportunities?
Pretty drastically, I would say. I mean, I think I've got a lot of principles in place that I still believe in from 2009 when I first became a head coach at the University of Washington. You know, at that time, I had just got done with almost an eight-year stint with Pete Carroll at USC. A lot of the principles that I believed in were really a foundation from him. Then you develop your own, right? Then I'm a head coach for 7 years at Washington and USC, and you evolve some. And then I had an opportunity to spend a year with Nick Saban at Alabama in 2016 as an analyst. You know, I spent two more years with Dan Quinn at Atlanta, and then two more years back with Coach Saban in Alabama. And you just continue to kind of lay even a better foundation of what you want to be and what you want your program to look like, how you treat people, the way you recruit, the style of play that you're looking for. And in the end, I think for myself, through experience, you have more of a firm belief of who you are, what you believe in, and what you want your program to look like. I think one of the mistakes, you know, you can make as a head coach or a first-time head coach is you just try to emulate the guy that you just worked for, when in reality, that's not really you. Those are his principles. So I think it's allowed me some time now over the last 11 years or so to really dig deep into what I believe in and what I want our program to look like and how I want our team to play and how I want our team to conduct themselves. And you start to formulate your own beliefs, and then those things really come out of you more naturally. And I think you get a lot better buy-in from your players a lot quicker.
Coach, if you don't want to answer this one, that's cool, but I did want to ask it. You've dealt with alcohol addiction, and you did it in the spotlight and in the headlines, so a lot of people are very aware of it. Can you talk about where you are sort of in that journey and what lessons you take from it and how it can improve you?
I mean, I think the reality of it is this. I mean, it's not, it's a very public situation. And, you know, I don't know if that I would be the coach that I am today, the man that I am today, the leader that I am today, if I didn't go through that. You know, I think we all go through things in life. We all have adversity we get faced with, and how we respond to it and the attitude we embrace for each day to respond to, whether it's self-inflicted adversity or outside adversity that you get presented with, I think has really shaped me, quite frankly. And you know, from 2015 to now 2021, you know, I've had to almost, you know, rebrand, recreate myself. And I don't know if I would have done that if I didn't go through what I went through. So in the end, I view it, A, as a positive on that front. I think, B, the fact that I'm dealing with 18 to 22-year-old males who deal with adversity on a daily basis, that I'm a I can be a model for them to look to, that I can be a sounding board for them, that I've dealt with some real life experiences, that I did have the perseverance to fight through. I think are some really good traits that you know, you'd like to have as a leader, and that you can instill in your own players and young men that you're trying to guide. So in the end, I wouldn't trade it. You know, my life is my life. It's gone the way it's gone. But I also say that I do think I would not be where I am today had I not gone through what I went through. And, you know, I'm proud of the work that I've put in. I'm grateful and thankful for the opportunities that have been presented to me along the way. And clearly now with this opportunity to head coach at University of Texas, I'm humbled and I'm honored, but this is not the destination. Like, I made it. Now I'm a head coach again. I'm good. I can relax. I'm still on the journey of showing how much that I've evolved and where I've come and what I think there's so much more for me to do here. That's, I think, what makes this opportunity so exciting, the impact that I can have on so many young men through my own experiences.
Okay, so now when you're sitting in the living room with a five-star recruit, he's down to two schools. It's Texas and it's Alabama. He's a wide receiver. You pop on the film. Do you show him Judy, Ruggs, Devontae Smith, and Waddle, and you say, look, this was me. This wasn't Nick. This was me. I'm the one who's going to get you there. How does that recruiting pitch go?
I don't want to give away all the secrets. Coach might be listening. You know, the reality of it is, I mean, my time with Coach Saban was tremendous. I mean, he's a great mentor of mine. He's a tremendous coach. He's a tremendous leader. But obviously, you know, we're different people, and we've got different niches. And he's a defensive guy. I'm an offensive guy. You know, and you know, the idea is that, you know, hopefully we are going into the same living room back-to-back nights, competing for the same players off the field. And then the goal is, the end of college football season, we're competing on the field in the playoff, because that's the standard here. And I know that's the standard at Alabama. And, you know, we should be going toe-to-toe on a daily basis on recruits, and we should be going toe-to-toe on the field at the end of every season.
Yeah, Coach, and this is another question I wanted to ask you, though, about, because you had to deal with Dreamland Barbecue there in Tuscaloosa. Have they got you hooked up with Stubbs yet in Austin? I know you've hit the ground running, been really busy a lot of ways, but have you had a chance to sample some of that barbecue there in Austin?
You know, unfortunately, I really haven't. I know a couple plates have been brought to me. I'm not really sure where everything was from. It was good, I will say that. It's great to be here. I've never shied away from good barbecue, so you might have to get back to me here in about a year once I can sample everything.
There you go.
Steve, is there a little Dan Quinn stuff you can give us? Obviously, new defensive coordinator here in town. Cowboys fans want to know what you think about him.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Quinn is a tremendous leader. I mean, this guy is fantastic in front of men. I think he does a tremendous job of getting the guys to play hard, to play fast, to play physical. They attack the football really well. I love my time with Dan. We're very close. I'm pumped that he is with the Cowboys and he got this opportunity. I think he's going to do great things.
All right, great stuff. We appreciate the time and wish you nothing but the best of luck down there. Give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Thank you, guys. Hook him. See ya.
Okay, there he goes. Steve Sarkisian with you on 105.3 The Fan. It's been a while since there's been a winner down there, and we just watched two guys that had a tremendous amount of success and Charlie Strong and Tom Herman step in into this role and not be able to turn it around. I'm pulling for Steve, though, and I'll tell you what, I think he's got a shot here. You know, his personality, the offensive acumen that you talked about right there, but he's got to be able to get those players and then take a couple and put them in the freaking first round.
Yeah.
And now you have an advertising pitch.
Well, and I think
right
he was
now,
saying
if I'm
that
a player,
a lot.
I'm like, what's
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I think it's important that it seemed like he was saying that a lot, like he was focusing on the player development. Like, the talent is not an issue. But when these guys are juniors and seniors, if they still play like they did when they were a freshman,
yeah.
what are we doing in Austin?
Yeah.
And he knows. He's got to know.
Yeah, it's a big part of the story, and there's big expectations, and it's a shame how much money they've had and haven't been able to produce more of a winner. And I don't know. There is also the possibility that, you know, is there a guy who can step in and cut through all of that? And I'm sure there is, but finding him and how does that guy doesn't just, you know, raise his hand. It's like, oh, I'm the guy that can work through all of the extra challenges in Austin. Bring me in.
Right.
You're out there trying to find the right guy. And unfortunately, you can't be too sure after what we've seen over the last decade.
Yeah,
Mike Fisher. Go ahead, Brian.
No, real quick. That's the one thing that Nick Saban was able to do in Alabama. When you win consistently, you get everybody off your back. Everybody lets you do your job. That's what Steve Sarkisian needs to do. He needs to win early, win consistently, excuse me, and get everybody off his back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.